Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming out this morning. My name is James Faluzak, F as in Frank, A-L-U-S-Z-C, Z again, A-K. With me this morning is Dan Woodard, W-O-O-D-A-R-D. I am an advocate. I am a survivor of clergy sexual abuse. I am a former priest and a whistleblower before the 40th investigating grand jury in Pennsylvania. Attorney Woodard is with the firm of Phillips and Palicelli in Manhattan and has been representing injured victims for years, and I'm honored to be standing here with him today. Bishop DiMarzio and the Diocese of Brooklyn are evading a full account of priest perpetrators in the Diocese of Brooklyn. In 2004, DiMarzio and the Diocese of Brooklyn self-reported 73 abuser priests as part of the John Jay study that was commissioned by the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. That was 2004. Today, Bishop DiMarzio and the Diocese of Brooklyn only acknowledge 114 alleged perpetrator priests. The authoritative number today, though, is 142 alleged abuser priests in this diocese. They have been publicly reported by the media and by other legal filings. So there is a difference of 28 abuser priests that have been self-reported by the Diocese of Brooklyn and who have been publicly acknowledged.
This is a number that does not take into account the opening of the Child Victims Act in New York as well as in New Jersey. And nationwide. At Phillips and Palicelli, we represent over 150 victims of childhood sexual abuse. We filed cases in both New York City, upstate New York, as well as in New Jersey. What has occurred here is that through our investigation and speaking with these victims who have undergone these heinous acts, have revealed priests that have not come forward or have not been revealed by the church itself. In upstate in New York, in Buffalo, we have revealed five priests that have not been revealed by the Diocese of Buffalo or the Roman Catholic Church in general. What happens here, despite the legislature's opening up this availability for victims to seek reform and seek justice through the civil justice system, despite that availability of those victims to come forward and seek justice, the church continues to do the same thing and cover up what they know in a shroud of secrecy and hide behind the truth of what is known. This is not a situation where they're coming forward to allow these victims to heal, but rather continuing to take the same stance that they always have, which is hiding behind archaic doctrine and dogma.
Besides the Diocese of Brooklyn, Bishop DiMarzio is withholding information on Cardinal McCarrick. As a priest and auxiliary bishop, protege of the former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, it is legitimate for us to ask, what did Bishop DiMarzio know about allegations against Cardinal McCarrick from the time period of 1996 to 1999 in the Archdiocese of Newark, when Bishop DiMarzio served there under McCarrick as an auxiliary bishop prior to McCarrick's appointment to the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. As one who was certainly interviewed as part of the pending McCarrick investigation, DiMarzio must provide for the communities he served in New Jersey a status report of that investigation.
The questions we're asking on behalf of our victims and our clients is, why does the church continue to hide the information? This is a situation where they should be, and what our clients want is not only justice, but the ability to heal. By allowing the church to keep this information secret from the victims, litigate these cases, if anything, if they're going to try to impugn the credibility of these clients and to impugn the credibility of these people after they suffered for so long, we ask why. Why does that occur? Why won't there just be a period of healing and a period where there is a revelation of who these abusers are, what the church knew when, and that would allow these people to move forward with their lives and begin the healing process, having sustained horrible trauma throughout their lives?
We contend that Bishop DiMarzio is also withholding information that he is aware of from the Diocese of Buffalo. DiMarzio recently concluded a Vatican investigation of the Diocese of Buffalo, where Phillips and Palicelli and our affiliates have multiple clients. When will Bishop DiMarzio provide us with an accounting of his findings?
This is a situation where unspeakable acts, from speaking to our clients, we hear these stories, and what we're compelled by most is their bravery in now coming forward. And now, after all of these years, with the opening of the Civil Justice Acts, both in New York and New Jersey, the advent of other states that are contemplating passing these acts, including Illinois, the passing of it in California, this is going to be a situation where representing these victims throughout the country at Phillips and Palicelli, we are going to try to get to the bottom of these investigations and are going to advocate on behalf of our clients and are going to leave no stone unturned in obtaining the truth in order to get them justice.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger was a priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn, and we are asking now Bishop Scharfenberger of both Albany and Buffalo to share with us information on the internal investigation of Bishop Howard Hubbard, his predecessor in Albany, and also Bishop Richard Malone, recently resigned, forced out of the Diocese of Buffalo. Bishop Scharfenberger, this protege of Bishop DiMarzio, is now presiding over the same cover-up. What is the status of Bishop Hubbard in Scharfenberger's present Diocese of Albany? If Scharfenberger and the diocese are indeed conducting an investigation, an internal investigation of Hubbard, when can we expect that public accounting of Hubbard's actions? More germane, more to the point, did Bishop Edward Scharfenberger know about allegations against Bishop Hubbard all of these years that he's now been the Bishop of Albany? Has he sat on these, and has he not shared his knowledge of these allegations against retired Bishop Hubbard? Scharfenberger is now the apostolic administrator of the Diocese of Buffalo. Will he finally give to the good people of the Diocese of Buffalo a full public account of the number, the nature, and the location of clergy sexual abuse in Buffalo? The other day, when Bishop Scharfenberger was named as the temporary administrator in Buffalo, he was caught being duplicitous in his response to different questions by the public and by the media. He tried to suggest that he had a blank slate going into Buffalo, but then he said at the same time that he was familiar with media reports that about clergy sexual abuse and the historical nature of it in Buffalo. Then, when he was pressed further by members of the media in Buffalo, he acknowledged that he had spoken with Bishop Richard Malone in the run-up to his appointment as administrator in Buffalo. But he tried to prevaricate about Bishop Malone. He tried to prevaricate about where and when and how long he and Bishop Malone had spoken about the fact that Malone was being forced out and Scharfenberger was coming forward. I was in Rome a week after these bishops met with the Pope, and we never heard anything from the Holy Father. We never heard anything from any of the Vatican congregations about this matter. Bishop Malone seems to have been given an out, given his chance to have a swan song. He said a mass at St. Paul's outside the walls, the tomb of St. Paul the Apostle. He was granted that, even though he and his fellow bishops knew that he was being forced out. It begs the question, when will the good people of the Diocese of Buffalo see Bishop DiMarzio's final report to the Vatican? And will Bishop Scharfenberger cough up that information that is so needed?
We'll take any questions that you have at this point.
Yes, I have a question. When you say the going back at the beginning regarding this, when you say the authoritative number is 142, what do you mean by authoritative?
What I mean by the authoritative number is that 142 priests of the Diocese of Brooklyn have been revealed by the media or by public court filings. They are publicly known. They have not been publicly revealed by the Diocese of Brooklyn or by Bishop DiMarzio. A difference of 28 that he has not shared with the public. Are these men still in ministry? Are they still walking the street? Do they still have access to children? I think it's an entirely relevant question to the good people of this community.
Why do you think there's been a delay in the bishop's report?
Ultimately, every bishop has to abide by the same playbook. That is canon law, church law, the internal procedures that are imposed upon bishops by Rome. They are bound by confessional secrecy. That any time, let me give you another example. If a married couple gets divorced and they want an annulment, they have to take their case to a tribunal run by the Diocese of Brooklyn. That trial, that internal investigation and tribunal trial, is governed by confessional secrecy. The bishop would face excommunication by the Pope if he were to reveal the substance of that investigation. It is no different with the investigation of priests. Okay? So the priests that have been acknowledged publicly by the diocese, well, it's almost easy for them to cough up that information because it's already public. What about their confessional matters? What about their internal tribunals? What about their internal investigations? Bishop DiMarzio, Bishop Scharfenberger, they are afraid to give up that information because of the potential penalty of being excommunicated from the church that they serve. So they're not going to tell us anything other than the ultimate result of one of these tribunals. They're not going to say whether somebody is guilty or innocent unless they're given permission to do so by the Vatican itself.
And do you think that's going to hold up the Vatican or DiMarzio?
Both. Bishop DiMarzio is the standard bearer for these Vatican internal procedures. I can't give him a pass. I can't forgive him for his secrecy. It's the same. It would be akin to any other. You know, the Catholic Church is a signatory to the United Nations Declaration on freedom. they have an obligation to uphold the common good, the set of conditions that allow people in this community to thrive and simply to be safe. And they're withholding that. They believe there is a greater standard that's imposed upon them essentially by a foreign power, by the Vatican. And so rather than tell us that there are perpetrators living and serving in our communities, they're going to withhold that under pressure by the Pope.
So this is the report you're talking about for the Buffalo Diocese?
We're talking about, we're here today to talk about three reports. The report of Cardinal McCarrick. Bishop DiMarzio was a protege of him, was one of his last auxiliary bishops in Newark. It's reasonable to expect that he was interviewed as part of that Vatican investigation. The result of that investigation has been kicked down the road indefinitely.
And is this the DA's investigation?
No. I wish it was a district attorney's investigation. This is the church's investigation of Cardinal McCarrick. This is the church's investigation of retired Bishop Howard Hubbard in Albany by Bishop Scharfenberger. This is the report of Bishop Richard Malone, the recently forced out Bishop of Buffalo, conducted by Bishop DiMarzio. We wish that it was public, civil, or criminal authorities conducting these investigations. No, it's the church and it's these men. It would be akin to a corporation, a public corporation, investigating itself and never telling us why somebody or the circumstances or the timing or the location of abuse that might have happened at any American corporation.
So it seems like there's a number of intertwined conflicts of interest. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we would say emphatically that the church has a huge conflict of interest, not just between its own law and its internal investigations and the expectations of our community. They're not abiding by the gospel. They're not following the command of Christ to protect the most vulnerable members of our community.
And it's a situation where they are preaching or talking about healing. Those of you out there who are Catholic, devout Catholics, you are hearing the words in the homilies every week from the priests talking about the healing, moving forward in healing of the putting the scandals of the past behind us. How can that occur when they're not coming forth with the information that they have that it will allow the community to understand the full breadth and impact of the number of priests out there who have engaged in this conduct? And who, do we know if any of these are still actually practicing priests? Are they still having access to children? We don't have that information. You cannot preach healing on one hand and not give us the information to allow us to heal on the other.
And furthermore, many of these bishops will make grand statements to the public. We're sorry for what happened. We apologize for our missteps. We apologize for our mistakes. What are they apologizing for when they don't give us a full account? Bishop Scharfenberger, one of the first statements that he made in the Diocese of Buffalo last week was to say, you know, if a husband were to cheat on his wife, it's one thing to ask for forgiveness, but you have to see a change in behavior. It's an apt analogy, in fact, because these men are apologizing for something. They're unwilling to talk about it. It's like saying, honey, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry. Here's the kicker, my favorite response from these bishops. I'm sorry if there was anything lacking in my response. We cannot forgive. You can't expect victims to forgive the church when the church doesn't give a full accounting in the first place.
Just if you could explain the DiMarzio and the character. he's saying DiMarzio was not forthcoming to the church, not forthcoming to the public. What are you saying about
that? That's a good question. Bishop DiMarzio was the second to the last auxiliary bishop of Cardinal McCarrick in Newark. Okay, this was before Bishop DiMarzio was appointed Bishop of Camden, New Jersey. He served, I want to make sure I get it right, from 1996 to 1999, he served as the auxiliary bishop to Cardinal McCarrick in Newark, New Jersey. What did he know? I mean, we've heard again and again with the McCarrick tragedy that multiple bishops in the state of New Jersey knew for years, it has been alleged that they knew for years about, they had heard not just rumors, but they had heard about specific cases. All we're asking is for Bishop DiMarzio to tell us, sir, with all due respect to your office, what did you know? What did you know about Cardinal McCarrick? It's a reasonable question.
Do you think he's been forthcoming with the church?
We do not know if he's been forthcoming with the church. The church has conducted its own internal investigation. It's been reported on. We're all waiting with real anticipation to find out the result of that report. The problem is, and I think one of the reasons, this is just my speculation, why the church is kicking this down the road as it is and saying, well, it's a matter of, we got to translate the report into Italian and whatnot, is that it's going to end up implicating bishops.
So wait, which report now?
The McCarrick report.
But he didn't do that report.
He certainly was interviewed as part of that. He was serving shoulder to shoulder with Cardinal McCarrick while those allegations were known to multiple bishops.
Right, no, but I'm saying in the Buffalo report, he was in charge of investigating.
Buffalo is a separate investigation. There are three investigations here that DiMarzio, you know, two for certain that he's sitting on. One is the McCarrick investigation, and the second is the Bishop Richard Malone investigation that he himself conducted over a span of just a couple of weeks in November in Buffalo. The third investigation that we need to see the result of is from this priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn who has become the Bishop of Albany, Bishop Scharfenberger, who is now the administrator in Buffalo. So Bishop Scharfenberger and Bishop DiMarzio, Scharfenberger was a protege of DiMarzio. You can almost trace this. McCarrick ordained DiMarzio a bishop. DiMarzio ordained Scharfenberger a bishop. There's the two of them are sitting on three investigations of their fellow bishops that we need to hear the results of.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.